It's Transition Tuesday, and we welcome you to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. On a day when the Eagles put what happened in San Francisco behind them, look ahead to the St. Louis Rams, and a lot going on today at the NovaCare Complex. We'll hear from Chip Kelly in just a bit and get his first reaction to the news that Lane Johnson, Eagles right tackle, back at practice on the active roster. And if all things go well, Chris, Lane Johnson in the lineup on Sunday against the St. Louis Rams.
Yes, offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur said, throw him into the mix. Let's see what he can do. Certainly that offensive line needs a boost after struggling against a very good 49ers front. And they're going to have another tough test at hand this Sunday against the St. Louis Rams.
So let's get you caught up with everything happening. We'll throw it out to the field. Bo Wolf with our news roundup presented by Sports Authority.
Thank you, guys. And the big story on Tuesday, of course, after four games, the Eagles able to welcome back right tackle Lane Johnson to the fold after so many injuries on the offensive line after his first practice with the Eagles since the regular season started. Lane Johnson, last year's first-round pick, talks about what it's like to get thrown back into the mix after playing with the first-team offense on day one.
You know, went out there. Obviously, we had a few different plays, schemes thrown in. But other than that, learned that in meetings today and came out here and felt good. But tomorrow will be full pads and kind of get back in, you know, to real football. So, I mean, feels workout shape. I feel like, you know, I'm in the best shape, in my life. But as far as football, only way you can get out here is just kind of, you know, going through the practices again. But I don't think I'm too far off.
The Eagles, of course, have started four different offensive lines in each of the first four games this season. Likely that we'll see that happen for 5-for-5 with Lane Johnson on Sunday if he does indeed start. Offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur says the Eagles will indeed throw Lane Johnson into the mix, and quarterback Nick Foles talks about getting one of his guys up front back.
Put him in there, let him play. Yeah, I mean, we visited yesterday. He came back. He's in great shape. He kind of informed us what he was doing because we really weren't allowed to have any contact with him. So he visited with Stout, he visited with myself, he visited with Coach, and really kind of told all of us the same thing, that he did what he could to stay in shape and kind of watch things from afar, and we'll put him in there and get him going.
Oh, we're excited. We're so excited to have Lane back. He's a huge part of this team, and our O-line, no matter who's in there, they've been in there fighting, like I said, each and every down. And Lane's a tremendous athlete. He's a guy that can run with the best of them and block with the best of them. So just to have him back, his personality, everything, I'm excited. And with the run game, with the pass game, we'll continue to work on it.
Meanwhile, on the defensive side of the ball, obviously the defense on the field a lot against San Francisco in the 26-21 loss in week four. But D'Amico Ryans and defensive coordinator Bill Davis says that's not a function of the offense not performing. It's a function of the defense not getting off the field despite many positives from the game.
No, I don't worry about it because as I watch the tape, it's just, you know, you watch some of the third downs that we had when we were off the field, we had penalties to extend drives. So that's not on the offense. That's us, you know, extending drives on our own where we should have been off the field, but penalties allowed them to keep going. And so we kind of inflicted ourselves from that standpoint and allowed ourselves to stay on the field longer than we had to.
We're on the field longer. So the defense on the field and the conditioning we're in, I still believe it's elite conditioning. When I watch the fourth quarter and the way we play and finish, that's there. What we have to do is break down and get rid of the mistakes, get rid of the penalties that extend downs. And that's where, you know, us getting us off the field lies.
That will do it for your news roundup presented by Sports Authority. Back to you guys in the Xfinity studio.
Thanks, Bo. Eagles fans, we want to remind you that tomorrow is the start of the Tackling Breast Cancer campaign. The Eagles have raised over $1.5 million towards breast cancer research. We want to hear your stories of inspiration. Make sure to send them to us on social using the hashtag EaglesTBC.
Yeah, a huge platform for the Eagles, a huge platform for the NFL as well throughout the month of October. Back to some action, the Philadelphia Eagles getting ready for the St. Louis Rams. And when we return to Eagles 360, had a chance to sit down with head coach Chip Kelly. Obviously, the first topic of conversation, right tackle Lane Johnson and how he looked his first day of practice. These are Chip Kelly's first comments about Lane Johnson. So stick with us here on Eagles 360. We'll be back in just a moment.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win.
score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
In the locker room, we are all the same. Win or lose, we get what we need to come back for more. Gatorade Recover, 20 grams of pro caliber protein from the locker rooms of the pros, now in yours.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
We welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Eagles head coach Chip Kelly, our exclusive one-on-one here. Eagles getting ready for the St. Louis Rams. And let's begin with your training session today, Coach. Lane Johnson out on the field today. Early impressions, how did he look?
He obviously worked when he was away. He was down at a workout facility in Dallas and worked out every day down there. You know, it's the one thing you know about Lane is that he's got a great work ethic. And so we weren't concerned with him coming back out of shape or and whatnot. It was just, where is he from a retention standpoint? There's going to be some rust there. Work him through in the meetings and how much came back to him. You know, but he for day one he looked good.
What do you do with him the rest of the week? Do you force feed him stuff? Is he just working to the rotation?
Yeah, well, we only have 10 linemen. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows when you're in. We have, I think, 8 on the active roster and then 2 practice squad players. So we're only 2 deep. So we practice 2 groups during the week, so he'll get his reps, and we'll make a determination at the end of the week. But we need help, obviously, because we're hurt and we're banged up a little bit up front with some guys being out. Obviously, Mathis is out, Barbary is out, Kelsey's out, so we really need to just see if he can contribute for us this week.
His biggest challenge in the big picture here is the mental part of it.
Both. You know, he hasn't been playing football for 4 weeks. He's been training very hard, so just that transition. The best way to get in shape for football is to play football, and he wasn't. And obviously, he hasn't taken any hits. He wasn't, you know, doing the physical part of the game. But it's just a matter of just getting him acclimated. I think he'll be fine just because of knowing Lane.
You've used a lot of reserves as starters. In the big picture, how will those players benefit from being in those roles?
I think they benefit just because when you get down the road, the guys are going to – they keep getting valuable experience of every time they're in there. And you know, you can see them growing from week to week and saying, hey, he's gotten better. Obviously, there's a first time for everybody. You know, there was a first time for Jordan Matthews when he was a rookie. Didn't play great in his first game, but really started to come on. Had a big game against the Colts, had an even bigger game.
Against Washington.
So, you just see that growth pattern. And it's the same growth pattern that you see in anybody. They're all a byproduct of their experience. And the more experience they can get, the better they're going to be in the long run.
3-1 record, first place in the NFC East through 4 games, first quarter of the season. What are some of the takeaways you have?
Yeah, I like the way this team fights. You know, they've been in every football game that we played. Obviously, we've been down in the first couple and fought our way back. I think we're getting contributions from a lot of different people. You know, to score 21 points not on offense last week just tells you how good our special teams is playing right now. Malcolm Jenkins has come up really big for us 3 straight weeks in a row with critical interceptions for us, you know, in the Colts game and the Redskins game, key point in times during the fourth quarter, and then an interception return for a touchdown against the 49ers. So, we're moving in the right direction. We need to clean things up offensively, obviously, but I'm really happy in the direction our special teams and defense is headed.
Good segue into special teams. 3 touchdowns in 4 games, great coverage on kicks. I mean, they are playing very well. How would you describe the mentality? They seem like they want to just go out and not only win each play, but dominate every play.
They do. You know, we talk about 3 things. Are they ready? Are they focused? And they're prepared to make a play. And those guys take a lot of pride in it. I think we've added a few new faces over there with the Chris Maragosas coming in. But then some stalwarts like Chris Polk, who's been a real good special teams player for us, has stood out. You know, you add a dynamic returner in Darren Sproles, and obviously instantly your punt return team gets better. But then I think one of the underrated fact is that we have some key starters. You know, Malcolm Jenkins had a huge block on Darren Sproles' return. He's on our punt return team. When you look at some of our starting corners are on our kickoff cover team and have made kickoff tackles. So I think our guys take a lot of pride in their ability to contribute on special teams and know how much of a difference it is in a football game.
Is Coach Phipp, is it a sales pitch to starters to play special teams? Are they very willing to go out and do everything it takes to win?
I believe they are, and I think it just overall the attitude of this football team is what do we got to do to win? And I don't think they look at and say, well, it's just special teams, let's not worry about it, is that if it's going to give us an advantage, and obviously in the Redskins game we have a kickoff return for a touchdown, in the 49ers game we have a block punt for a touchdown, we have a punt return for a touchdown. Those are difference-making plays in football games. So whether it happens on teams or happens on offense or happens on defense, it's all football. And we got a bunch of guys that love playing, and they enjoy being on teams, they enjoy being on offense, they enjoy being on defense, they just want to be out in the field.
Chip, it's the St. Louis Rams on Sunday, 1-2 football team. They come off their bye week. What kind of team are they?
They're a good football team. You know, obviously defensively, they can they've got some very, very talented players. You know, Chris Long is out right now, who's a dynamic defensive end, but they have Robert Quinn, who's one of the top defensive ends, and I think was second in the league in sacks last year. They added Aaron Donald from the University of Pittsburgh. There's another guy up front that you really got to worry about, along with Brockers, who was a high draft pick. Laronitis at linebacker is one of the top linebackers in the league. Janoris Jenkins is one of the top corners in the league. So, and they present a lot of problems in terms of the different blitz packages that Greg Williams uses and brings. Offensively, they've got some really scary playmakers. Tavon Austin is a guy that's a dynamic player, whether it's on special teams or getting the ball in many different facets. They're very multiple in what they do. They lost Sam Bradford for the year early. But they seem like, you know, they haven't missed much offensively. They're scoring points, and, you know, it's a good, solid football team that we've got to be prepared for. And that's what you get in this league. Every week, there's not a week where you're like, oh, we're playing such and such, so this is going to be an easy week. You know, every week is a challenge, and it's a team that prepares the best on a weekly basis that's going to win.
The matchup that jumped out when I was looking at St. Louis is Robert Quinn, if he stays on that side, against Jason Peters. How do you look at that matchup?
Two great players, you know, two All-Pro players at their positions, and as good a defensive end as there is in a 4-3 scheme in this league. And then, obviously, we feel one of the best offensive tackles in the game, you know, in Jason. So it'll be a really good matchup. And then he has the ability to move around. He hasn't moved around much, but, you know, if they want to do that. Before, it used to be Chris Long and him. So, you know, you was kind of pick your poison, two outstanding defensive ends. Now, with Chris out for, I think he's on the injured reserve designated to return. You know, Quinn is the guy, you know, and do they try to move him around and get him matched up? It'll be interesting. But I think also having Lane back will potentially help us on the right side.
Does Jason generally stay by himself from week to week, and that blocking assignment is?
No. I mean, it just depends on what we're calling. Sometimes we slide protection to him. Sometimes we slide him away. A lot of it has to do with which side are we trying to get the back up. But we vary our protections. I don't think anybody in this league runs the same protection because there's always ways to attack it. So you need to be in some five-man, some six-man, some seven-man. You need to get in and out of different ones. Not trying to help Jason, but just so defensive coordinators are too good in this league. If there's always one protection where they always know that one guy's going to be single, they can do a lot of different things to that protection.
Jeff Fisher, longtime head coach, coaching the NFL, done a lot of great things in the league. Your view of Jeff and what he does?
Been around for a long time. You know, started with the Houston Oilers, you know, back when there was the Oilers were in Houston and not the Texans. So was a really good player and played on Buddy Ryan's 46 defenses back in the day for the Bears, and has been a head coach in this league for a long, long time. Brings a wealth of experience. Defensive coach, got a big defensive mentality. His teams reflect his personality. Tough, hard-nosed football team. So you expect a big challenge on Sunday.
He was the defensive coordinator here. Eagles fans remember him under Buddy Ryan here. That 46 defense, is it still around in any sort of?
Yeah, they run versions of it. You know, they'll get to some bear looks and, you know, cover down both the guards and the center, and kind of they have that sprinkled in through their package, so that there's always still, I think he's rooted in that, and I think, you know, Greg Williams is also, so you'll see some versions of that on Sunday.
Four games in, are you noticing any trends as you study defenses in the league?
No. I mean, it varies. You know, you played some 3-4 spacing teams when you played the Colts and the 49ers, and you got some four downs and the Redskins a little bit. Now we're getting back to a four-down spacing team, much like Jacksonville. So, you know, team one and team five are four-down teams, and then the two, three, and four were three down spacing teams, and each defense has their own little quirks that are just are slightly different than another team. Some teams are three down, but they're single gap defenses, and you know with over and unders. Other teams are true two gap teams. So, but there's not a trend where everybody's doing one thing or everybody's doing another thing.
Coach, thanks so much. Good luck on Sunday. We thank Chip Kelly for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All season long, stop into your local Acme markets and purchase the Eagles item of the week. When you do, you will receive a receipt code making you eligible for the Swoop In and Win sweepstakes. Just go to swoopinandwin.com and enter the code today. It's your chance to win Eagles tickets, Eagles Pro Shop and Acme gift cards, and Eagles autographed merchandise. Acme Markets, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
In the locker room, we are all the same. Win or lose, we get what we need to come back for more. Gatorade Recover, 20 grams of pro-caliber protein. From the locker rooms of the pros, now in yours.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson Doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
For a limited time, stop by your local McDonald's and go for two with your favorite large soft drink in an Eagles Players Cup and large shake and flavor fries, including flavors of Zesty Ranch, Spicy Buffalo, and Garlic Parmesan for only $3.49. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Price and participation may vary while supplies last. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. Eagles in a really interesting point as we start the second quarter of the season. Let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule here, presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster. For the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets, visit NFLticketExchange.com. Chris, we see the Rams obviously on Sunday, and then just a huge game against the Giants the following week, a national game, prime time. Are the Giants for real?
I believe that they can be. Certainly that's the case, and you look at how they've turned things around. The offense, a lot of people thought that they weren't going to be able to rebound after a poor preseason, but Eli Manning has come on strong of late. And who would have ever thought that Grambling's Larry Donnell would be the breakout player at tight end, having three touchdown receptions in the win over Washington. So certainly the Giants making a statement on national television that they are a team to be contended with here in the NFC East.
And we'll see them on Monday night. They host the Seattle Seahawks. But first things first, it's the St. Louis Rams coming to town on Sunday, Lincoln Financial Field, and the Rams absolutely no pushover. Let's take a look, our first look at the Rams, and we begin at the quarterback position, Chris. It's Nick Foles on one side, and who? Austin Davis on the other. And Austin Davis, a big game against the Cowboys, has put up pretty good numbers.
He's put up pretty good numbers. It remains to be seen whether he'll be the starter because Sean Hill is coming back from the injury. And Jeff Fisher has said that Sean Hill will be the guy. But Austin Davis has played well in his stead. Certainly the Rams looking to get something going there on the offensive side of the football. And for the Eagles, Nick Foles coming off the poor performance against the 49ers. But he's played very well at home. You go back to that Washington game, a very strong performance. The Eagles haven't won six straight games at Lincoln Financial Field, so certainly hope that Nick Foles will rebound once again against the Rams.
So some playmakers to talk about here as well. We know for the Eagles, of course, LeSean McCoy trying to get on track. The running game not doing much of anything in the first quarter of the season. For the Rams, Zach Stacy doing an okay job. Not a lot of firepower there. The main receiver is Brian Quick. For the Eagles, boy, Jeremy Maclin has been tremendous through four games. You certainly give the Eagles the edge there.
Yes, and the skill position players with Maclin coming back three straight games with a touchdown in the first three games of the season. And then how about on Sunday, that one-handed grab on that drive, which you thought the Eagles were going to come all the way back and score a touchdown to go ahead late in the game. But Maclin has been a spark in the short and deep game for this team. Certainly you hope that Foles and Maclin can connect on some of those deep passes. Maclin is breaking open all over the field, so you expect another big performance from him against this Rams secondary.
A good Rams defense, so very good. Stout up front. The pass rush is obviously outstanding, led by Robert Quinn. They've sustained some injuries, but Jeff Fisher will put together a good scheme for the St. Louis Rams, and it will not be easy by any stretch of the imagination. Eagles looking to get that offense untracked for 60 minutes, really for the first time this season. When we return to Eagles 360, it's time for Cover 2. We throw it over into our Fan Cave studio. Sheil Kapadia from PhillyMag.com and Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News discussing the 3-1 Philadelphia Eagles.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place the fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the Christie's lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in, you'll see the changes, you'll feel it, you'll love it.
Answer the Daily Eagles alumni trivia, and you can win a chance to compete to become the finalist for the Santander $20,000 Field Goal Challenge. The finalists will have the opportunity at the Eagles versus Titans game on November 23rd to kick a 40-yard field goal to win $20,000. Enter the website you see for your chance to win. I'm Dave Spadaro. This is Eagles 360. Now it's time for Cover 2. Chris McPherson with Les Bowen and Sheil Kapadia, the Eagles 3-1. How good is this football team?
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to delve into the Eagles' first loss of the season at the hands of the San Francisco 49ers. And to break it down, we have Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News and Sheil Kapadia from Birds 24/7. And first and foremost, this was a team, an Eagles team, that had the best rushing attack in the league in 2013. What's happened to it? Just over 20 yards on the ground against the Niners. Granted, a very good front. But Les, I'll start with you. What can the Eagles do to get the ground game going?
Well, there are two things, and they're both really obvious, Chris. First is they're going to get Lane Johnson back. And, you know, we're taping this before we've talked to anybody about what his status is. But you have to think he's playing this week, that he'll go to right tackle, that Todd Harriman's will move inside. And that will, you know, help things a little bit. I don't know if, as long as Jason Kelce is out, though, I think that line is missing something really essential. Not so much that David Moult can't block, but just something about its heart and character and personality and ability to sense what the defense is doing and stuff like that. And the other thing real quickly is what Chip Kelly talked about yesterday, people trying to do too much, people have to stop. They just have to take that yard. don't dance around and try to get outside with everything. You know, just do what's there. Don't try to be somebody, you know, don't try to be Superman.
Sheila, how much of this would you say is on LeSean McCoy, who obviously was frustrated in the locker room after the game against San Francisco?
I'd say a pretty small part. You know, we've seen LeSean McCoy's body of work over the years. We know what kind of running back he is. Assuming there's no injury there, I don't think he just forgot how to play football. I think it's like Les said, you know, we shouldn't overthink this. The offensive line is banged up. You had probably the best run-blocking offensive line in the NFL a year ago. I totally agree with the point about Kelce. I think if you had him and you had two or three other guys out, I think you would be in better shape just with that inside zone run in the middle. That's their go-to run. He's so essential with that, and you're really losing that right now. So I don't know that there is a quick fix. I agree that maybe you got to settle for those 3 and 4 yard runs. I don't think the big plays are going to be there, but I don't think this is going to be a prolific rushing attack until you get those guys healthy.
Now, with the emphasis on the run game by other defenses being taken away there, you would think that Nick Foles would have more opportunities or have to shoulder more of the load on the offense. Through four games, very up and down. He's had his struggles against the 49ers. Shield, what do you make of Nick Foles' performance to this point?
Yeah, I think it's been an uneven performance. You know, we haven't really seen him put a whole game together except for 2 weeks ago where he played very well against Washington. And same for this last week. He struggled all game, and then all of a sudden that last drive, he was making some very good throws. So what was interesting about last week to me was that the 49ers played more with two safeties deep. So there were some looks that were conducive to the run. They obviously felt confident that they didn't have to stack the box. So that's going to be interesting to me to see in coming weeks. Our team's going to play those safeties back. Maybe he can get the run game going a little bit. But on the flip side, it'll be even harder for Foles to make things happen in the passing game.
Les, is there anything in your estimation, why do you think Nick has been so up and down after his breakout performance in 2013?
He doesn't look comfortable most games back there. And I really think since Kelce went down in the third quarter of that Washington game, he hasn't had – I mean, he's had time and he has missed throws, but he hasn't really looked like he thought he had time, if that makes any sense. He's not settled back there. He's not, you know, really seeing what's in front of him. He missed so many deep throws Sunday that could have changed the game. And we were just puzzling over that before we came in here. That was not the way he... That last year he hit those throws. It's not a matter of his arm. It's not a matter of him not having the talent to make. I mean, you can't be able to do something 1 year and then not do it the next year and say, well, he never could do this. That doesn't make sense. But he's not doing it now. And Macklin and Cooper, it just seems like that he's never seen them before a lot of times. And I don't understand that. And I'm hoping that as the season goes on, we'll get some clarity into exactly what that's all about.
All right, this Sunday, the Eagles have another stern test against the Rams with a very good defensive line, so they'll be bringing the heat on the offense. Last thing here on this edition of Cover 2, the Eagles are 3-1 at the quarter pole, which I think most fans would take and be very happy with at this point. But at the same time, Dallas is coming off a dominant performance in a win over New Orleans. The Giants seem like they've gotten back on track. Are the Eagles still the team to beat in the NFC East? Les, I'll let you kick it off.
I think so. I don't have a great feel. I mean, I was writing about the Eagles game and looking at all the tweets from Dallas annihilating New Orleans, and I even sarcastically said, I guess Dallas just won the Super Bowl tonight. You know, those teams to me still have serious issues. I'm not shocked at the Giants. I really felt like maybe it was an issue of new offense and people not really grasping it right away, and Eli Manning can't be as bad as he looked there for a while. I'm not shocked. That's a quality organization, the Giants. I'm not shocked that they look decent. I'm a little surprised that the Cowboys look as good as they do. But I think history tells us Romo will get hurt or something will happen to the Cowboys.
Sheil?
Yeah, I think the Eagles are in the driver's seat, but I think it's pretty wide open right now. Like Les said, with the Giants, Eli Manning starting to get going. We know they have a good defense, even going back to last year. The Cowboys' defense is the surprise to me. You know, they have a great offensive line. They should be able to run the ball. They have very good weapons on the perimeter. I don't know if that defense can sustain through a 16-game schedule the way they're playing right now. If they can, fantastic coaching job by them because they don't have a lot of talent on that side of the football.
That's Sheil Kapadia, Les Bowen, and I'm Chris McPherson. And thank you very much for joining us in this edition of Cover 2 on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, thanks very much, guys. The Eagles and the Rams renewing a mini rivalry on Sunday. And when we return to Eagles 360, we'll take a look back at one of the big plays from the Eagles back in 2008. It's our old school All-22 feature coming up next on Eagles 360.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win!
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
When you get away from smartphones and video games and tablets, it's amazing what you can really plug into. This season, shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal, blazing down these tracks, there's people ringing bells above me, there's honking going on, there's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
We welcome you back into the studio here. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. It's Eagles 360 on this Tuesday in South Philadelphia. We're taking a look back now at the Eagles and the Rams, a game from 2008. Something we don't see very often from the Eagles offense these days, the shovel pass. Well, it worked very well in 08 against the Rams.
It's a pitch to Montgomery, 25-30.
Fourth and 26. He is firing, and it is caught by
Sidney. Oh, the ball goes for a touchdown.
Eagles fans, what's up? I'm Dan Klecko, and today we're going to take a look back at the Rams game from 2008, which is pretty cool for me because I was part of the team. It was my first game as an Eagle, so it's really exciting to me to take a look at this.
After missing a good part of the last few years due to injury, quarterback Donovan McNabb was healthy to open the 2008 campaign and running the offense to perfection against the Rams, driving the ball 80 yards in five plays to the St. Louis one-yard line before the team scored its first touchdown of the season.
All right, so you get down to the goal line, and we come out like with a formation like this. I'm going to be honest. Most teams are usually calling out what we're going to run here. This is one of Marty Morningwig's favorite plays. We're going to look at the shovel pass. All right, so right here, Tony Hunt, he's going to flare out. This play is all about misdirection. It really is. All right, and then these two are going to come down. John's going to come down for the linebacker. Sean's going to come across for the nose. Todd's going to come out and kick him out. And then Brian's going to come under for the shovel pass. So when we look at this right here, you see all that. The linebacker scraping real hard with Tony. That's the whole point of this play. I remember one of the coaching points from Marty was, explode out of there, so they think you're going to the flat, so it's going to be a pass to you. Brian coming underneath right there with the shovel pass as we finish it off. Not the prettiest shovel pass in the world, but still, we get in the end zone, we go up, we wind up crushing the Rams and going on a little bit of a run that year to the NFC Championship game.
Well, thank you very much once again, Dan. Great work with that. Now we kind of shift our attention to the Eagles and the Rams circa 2014. Austin Davis or Sean Hill?
Very good question, and it'll be one determined later on in the week. It'll be interesting to see whether they go with Davis, who has moved the offense pretty well, or Hill, who is the veteran, expected to come in and help at the start of the season when Sam Bradford went down. But at this point, you look at Davis as someone who's done well in the offense. Still, Fisher said Hill is going to be the guy when he's healthy.
And the Rams coming off their bye week. So we got you covered here from A to Z, Eagles and the Rams, every day at 5 o'clock on Eagles 360. For Chris, I'm Dave. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.